Hello and welcome to another episode of My Backstage Pass. This is your host, Lee Zimmerman, and I'm here with my producer and pal and co-host, Billy Hubbard. And today, we're excited to have the Young Fables as our guests. Hello there, you Young Fables. How are you?
Hello there. We're doing good. Thank you guys for having us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Yeah. It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
The audience calmed down.
The audience loves having you, too. So, you guys, y'all have been quite busy lately. Every time we turn around, you've got another gig. You're really very busy. That's great, huh? Things are happening.
Yeah, something's happening. I don't know what it is.
But something good.
Yeah, yeah, we've been busy. We have our fourth record coming up this year, so yes, we've been trying to, you know, get out there and let people know it's coming, I guess, staying busy.
Mm-hmm. Now, the new album is called Short Stories. Is there a backstory behind Short Stories? How did that title come about?
Originally, we were just going to do, like, because we've done three records all together, and then this will be the fourth one. We were just going to do singles and just sort of release them. And then eventually it got to the point where we were just like, well, now we have, you know, 10, 11 singles, mm-hmm, so we might as well do one. So it's like that idea of just taking these short vignettes kind of thing. And so we thought Short Stories would be cool. And it goes along with Fables.
So. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So you also, your feature film, your documentary, The Fable of a Song, that came out a couple of years ago and won the Nashville Film Festival Audience Choice Award. You guys are cooking. Wow. I'm telling you that's pretty great. Yeah.
Thank y'all. Yeah. We actually got like some exciting news about our film. We don't have the details just yet, but I think someone picked it up in Australia, so it's gonna be out on some type of streaming platform. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you gonna travel to the land down under and be at the premiere whatever it is?
I would love to, but I don't know. I don't really know anything yet. I don't know anything actually. No.
Wow. Now this documentary, is this the documentary that focused on your family and is that the same one? I saw that Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the same one. Yep.
Talk a little bit about that, because that was so revealing, and that really gave insight into kind of your origins and your motivation. Talk a little bit about how that documentary came about, The Fable of a Song.
Well, in 2017, we had a writing session. It was just like any other normal Monday or Tuesday. And our manager, Patrick, he called us before our session, and we were actually co-writing with a friend of ours, Dean Fields. And Patrick, our manager, was like, can I come in and film the writing session? And then we can make like a short YouTube video of your version of the songwriting process, because people ask a lot. And we ended up writing a song about my dad that day.
Yes.
I'm a huge daddy's girl.
Yes.
Cool. And so this started off to be just a short like YouTube video or even like a short series, but it turned into something so much more. The song Daddy's Girl was a song about me and my dad, but also about my sister and her dad. And my sister, she heard the song and passed away shortly after.
Oh, yeah.
And then my dad passed away about 8 months later. But the crazy thing is, we have all this on film. We have my parents like opening up about the loss of their child, and just this insane footage that all happened in like about a year. And I just think that there's no coincidence. There's no coincidences in life, I don't think, and especially this scenario. So.
Wow.
Yeah, that's tough.
Y'all have had a number of high points throughout your career. I mean, you're involved in helping to erase, you know, the stigma that surrounds the topic of mental illness. And you were honored with the Troy Gentry Compassion Award a couple of years ago for your commitment to that cause, too. So out of curiosity, what made you become involved in that, in the issue of mental health awareness? Was there something in your past that inspired that?
Yeah. I think for me, I think I've always kind of struggled mentally, but I didn't really take my mental health seriously or make it a priority until my sister passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, I guess long story short, that kind of messed me up and it kind of made me realize how important it is to just kind of focus on that. And this is just for me. And I do think that it's not talked about enough. And I think it's really important. And I think a lot of people struggle in that area. So I do, and I don't mind being open and vocal about it.
Gotcha.
And it's crazy too. Like when we do showings of the movie, especially, like the amount of people that come up after and have like a similar story or not even a close story, but like something that's pained them so much, you know, it's like everyone has this or some kind of something that's happened in their life that's like traumatized them or
right.
something. So it's like,
wow.
It is that's in cool. everyone. Yeah. You know?
Wow. It you know, and these efforts that you've made in terms of awareness and sharing your story have not been diminished by the music that you make. I read that you were chosen by Rolling Stone as one of the 10 best country and Americana songs of the week, that you received that honor, and you had people like Vince Gill and Amy Grant and Rascal Flatts and Shania Twain all backing you and you know, pointing to your talents and your prominence here. This is really impressive. Sheryl Crow, another one that's touted your abilities. So you guys have done quite well for yourselves here, you know? Well, yeah,
it's crazy it's crazy to think we've been at it for almost 10 years together, not counting the work we've done before that. So I don't know, it's wild.
Well, you know, sometimes people work towards these honors their entire careers and never achieve them. So the fact that you have in the space of that 10 years is very impressive, I think, you know, that you've achieved this. Good on you. Good on you there.
Thank you.
So how did the two of you meet? And at one point did you decide that you were going to make music together as the Young Fables?
Well, I mean, we're both from the Maryville area.
Yes.
But we never knew each other. You know, like we didn't grow up together or anything. Come to find out, like some old, you know, some friends of mine played with Laurel like way back in the day, but I had no idea. But really what happened is like I went to China for a while. And I was playing over there. Like jazz and R&B.
Yes.
And I fell in love with country music just by listening. I guess I was homesick, yeah. And I was like, I'm going to come back and play country. So when I came back, almost immediately, a friend of mine calls me and says, hey, I'm playing with this girl, and her guitar player didn't show up right before a show. Can you come in and fill in? I said, yeah, I can come in. And pretty much from that day, we played at Blue Tick, which was Barley's at the time.
Yes.
And we played almost every single day since then together.
Wow, impressive. But right. But the obvious question is, Wes, what the heck were you doing in China? That's the long way to go for a gig. Come on, son.
Wow, man.
It was a good gig. I've never been to China.
All right. It just seems like a long way to go for a gig. That's all I'm saying.
Long way from home, Wes.
Well, if you make it to Australia, I've heard it, you have to play the records backwards down there to hear them normal.
So. Yes, because the toilets flush backwards. Yes,
Find out for us.
And Laurel, you had a career all your own before you met Wes as well, right? I mean, you were.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up singing in churches, and then that kind of went into me doing like more local stuff, like fundraisers, and then I did my fair share of funerals and things like that, and just trying to sing anywhere that I could. And when I met Wes, you know, I'd been a solo artist. I was 19 at the time, which is crazy to think about.
I think you were 18 at that time.
I was 18 when we first started playing together. And I think at 19 years old, I was doing the American Idol thing, and I went by myself without Wes. And I think when I was in LA for a few weeks and we were about to come out with like our first album as the Young Fables, and just being there as a solo artist kind of felt, I don't want to say wrong, but it just didn't feel like that was what I was supposed to be doing. It felt like the Fables was what I was supposed to be doing. So I'm so glad I listened to my gut.
You just mentioned it in passing, but you were on American Idol, right? I mean, again, no small achievement.
I made the top 48 when I did it, so I got cut right before the live rounds.
That's a shame.
That's okay though. It was a fun time.
This is what is pretty cool. As I was reading about, I couldn't remember. I remember when the Texaco thing was going on, because I don't know if I'm friends with Charlie McCoy. He comes here a couple times a year and hangs out with me. And he told me, he was talking one day, and he said he was a music director or something there. And he was talking about it. I said, hey, wait a minute, girl from Maryville. said, anyway, he couldn't remember. I don't know. But anyway, he was talking about how good talent. So if you to win that, man, that's impressive.
Yeah, yeah. And
I think Laurel is the youngest to ever win still, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, yeah.
You guys are hyping me up today. I love it. Thank you.
Well, come on. That's what this is all about. You've got some impressive achievements here. You know, not to mention the fact that your music is just so wonderful to begin with. I mean, you know, you're on your way on the up and up here, you know, and it's really very impressive. You played at the Ryman as well, right? I mean,
God. That was,
and you won a grand experience. Prize of $100,000 in this Texaco Country Showdown. $100,000.
No, that's crazy. I actually was
at 16. I shouldn't even know what to do with that at 16 years old.
What did you do with that, Laura? What did you do with that? You have any left over?
I don't have any left over. I was kind of in a weird situation with some former managers. I'll say no more.
Okay.
About that. But I don't know. That was kind of an interesting time, and a lot of hard lessons learned. So I'm grateful that I learned those lessons before I moved to Nashville and kind of got really into the industry. So, that's what I'll say about that.
Yeah, I was in the Texaco Challenge. Actually, I was in it. I didn't tell you. Don't even know this. I made it to Dollywood in the top 10.
Really?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
I had no idea.
That's awesome.
That was that was like, that's a long time ago. How long? I don't even remember what year that was. 12.
Well, for yourself, Billy. It's wonderful album that came out last year.
Oh yeah, actually, I had just written that song "When I Look in Your Eyes," and that's one way we performed up there. But anyway, I didn't get very far.
That's cool.
I didn't get anything. I think I got in Dollywood's all I got for free. I'm
sorry. Hey, that's pretty great though.
Yeah. We've got one of their songs queued up too off their new record. That's
good.
That when this comes out, it'll be
a sneak preview. What
she tells about? I think he said it's coming out soon.
What song is this?
Yeah, let me tell us about it. Let's see. Second Time Around.
Second Time Around. All right, we're gonna hear some of the song here.
First love feeling, second time around.
That's a wonderful song. Why don't y'all share a little bit on the backstory, how that song came about, what inspired it?
Yeah, like Laurel said, we've been playing together almost 10 years, and we've been dating about 9 years.
Okay.
Like the later nine, you know, it'd be awkward if it was the first nine.
Yeah, the first nine, they broke up a year ago, and the heck with one another, yeah.
But probably like about a year or so ago, we took a walk around Nashville. We live downtown area, so we were walking around.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked for like hours and just talked, like the documentary said, we've been through a lot
mm-hmm.
of things in our time, and we just talked, and we were like, you know, maybe it's been too much stuff. Maybe we should break up. Maybe
oh,
we
no.
should do something else.
Oh no.
And we just talked. And so we eventually came to the decision that we should break up.
Wow.
And yeah. And so we were like, well, we were sitting and we were talking, we were still walking. And then we started walking back, and this was probably 4 hours into this walk. And we were like, no, we shouldn't. Like this is what it's supposed to be. We're meant to do this. We're supposed to be together. We got to turn it back on. So we like started over, and we wrote this song with a friend of ours named Jen Aiden mm-hmm. about that. Sometimes you just got to start over and do it again, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like there's so many songs about like new love and young love and all this stuff.
Yeah.
We wanted this song to be about love that's been through the ringer and is still there. Yeah.
Oh, that's great, man.
Well,
great
I mean, story. Yeah, I'm sorry, Billy.
I just said that's a great story. I just read recently that if you make it like 10 years is the point where most couples, if they make it past 10, they're good the rest of their life.
Oh, nice.
10 years. Yeah.
Nice.
Must be over the hump.
but it's a little bit precarious because you have both the personal and the professional relationship. So if the professional relationship, we're not really happening, that automatically impacts the personal relationship. I mean, it's a little precarious there, no?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to, that's why we played together for like a year and a half before we started dating, because we were trying to avoid that.
Right.
You know, that mm-hmm. like mixing the professional and personal. But eventually you just gotta dive in, I think. Yeah.
You know, I always wonder, like, before a couple goes on stage, for example, if they're ticked off at one another, if Laura wants to say to you, Wes, dang it, it was your turn to take out the garbage, and once again you failed me. And if you carry that anger and animosity onto the stage with you, I mean, how do you handle something like that?
Oh, man. We better be good actors that night.
I guess so. Yeah.
No, I mean, that's definitely a real thing. That sounded I'm like, are you in get out of my brain?
Yeah, really.
Because I do get mad when Wes doesn't take the trash.
Yeah, no, I mean, I made up the scenario here, but I could see how with a couple, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of an edge and you're going on stage and it hasn't been resolved. But has that happened?
That definitely happens. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's happened many, many times. Recently, I feel like it hasn't really happened.
Oh, good.
But in the past, it has.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's been times we've been like in fighting all the way to the stage.
Wow. 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 See, Billy, our podcast can bring out the secrets. We get the scoop here. I love this.
Oh,
I love
this. This is like those Patreon stuff there, man. Yeah, we got charged for that part.
Yeah. Oh.
I feel like people can tell though. Like if you're, you know, we're not great actors.
Really? That's why we're musicians.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've seen you a few times and I got to say, I never could tell there was any tension beneath the surface there. You know, so if there was, you hit it well, you know.
Oh, you know, John and June, Johnny Cash and June Carter, they had some good vibes going on. You know, it seemed like they were kind of in that mode occasionally.
Yeah. Legendary. Yeah. 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 So
it happens.
I'm dying to ask this question, and brace yourself here because it's a stupid question. You're the young Fables. As time goes on, will you become the middle-aged Fable? I can't even say the middle-aged Fables, or at some point the old senior Fables. Will the brand go with you as time goes on?
The Elder Fables.
The Older Fables. Damn it, we're the old Fables kind of Fables. I don't know, you know.
See, I asked this question, like when we came up with our name, it was us two sitting there and a friend of ours named Patrick Larney,
uh-huh.
who eventually made our manager, and we were all talking about how to come up with a band name.
Yes.
And he was the one, because he was like, you guys have written a lot of songs with Laurel's grandparents, and he said, that's cool. Let's use that idea. You're taking these old stories and you're making them new. And so it's like Young Fables. He just sort of said it.
Oh, okay.
And I asked that question. I said, well, when we get old, what are we going to do?
I thought that was an original question on my part. Dang. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
He said, like, well, fables are always ancient stories. So you'll always be a young one. But also, it's about taking old stories and making them new. It's not really about you at that point. And my ego was put in check.
All right. Okay.
And I was like, okay, that's cool. I like that.
That's, you know, deep thinking.
Yeah.
We'll see what we do, but I think we can keep it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Great. So obviously you're on a mission here. You're on a mission to tell these stories and pass along, you know, some words, some lyrics that are meaningful going forward. You know, it seems like you're kind of, that's what you're dedicated to do, tell stories that have impact and meaning and resonate. Yeah?
Yeah. Hopefully that's the goal.
You know? Okay. It seems like you're doing a good job of that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I wish we had more time, but I know you guys got an appointment
We're
coming
done
up
already.
Here. Well, I'm sorry, man.
I took up time with a stupid question.
No, that's great.
Damn it.
That's a great question.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Wes. I love the affirmation.
It was a great question.
I love the affirmation, Laurel. Thank you very much.
I guess folks can find you at youngfables.com, right?
Yeah,
find
that's
all
right.
Your news and info. And I saw you're on all the streaming. I was listening to you today on Spotify. But anyway, we're going to have to head out here, let you guys get off. So
Can we just ask when the new album is coming out? What's the release date?
We don't have a hard release for the album because we still got some singles coming.
All right.
I think we got three more singles to go.
Oh, okay. So. But you're going to put it out physically, I hope.
We're printing vinyl and stuff.
Great.
Already.
Okay, good.
Yeah, man. Okay. That song, that was a great. Sounded great while I go on air.
Yes.
Probably sounded better to us because we got our headphones on. But
it sounded great anyway.
Thank y'all so much. Thanks for playing our music and for having us and supporting us and believing in us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Anytime. You guys are awesome.
Yeah. Every time.
We love you guys. So we're going to head out of here with a little outro. And a big thanks to our host, Lee Zimmerman. Check out Lee's new book, 30 Years Behind the Glass, about Jim's Gaines. It's really cool. It's now available on Amazon. And he's got some other book about Americana music. Anyway, please like, share, and subscribe to My Backstage Pass on your favorite platform. And we'll see y'all next time. Happy trails.
Adios.